Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Welcome to Webcomic Beacon episode 146. This is the newscast for December 2nd, 2010. And all this can be found at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm your host, Ross Scott of The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. With me tonight is Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hi, this is Alex Heberling of alexsguide.net.
And of course, the man who needs at least one introduction, Fess of PSI. Fess?
PSI, webcomic.com.
Awesome. All right, well, let's get right to the news, shall we? So, first up on the news agenda is Comixology, the somewhat semi... I can't decide if I love it or hate it sometimes. But they've just announced that they're going to be working with indie comic creators for online distribution. So, according to the article posted on Comixology... about Comixology. It's a little self-referential. It's cool. They're going to be working with indie comics to be posting work to iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, all that nonsense. And they're starting this with Tokyo Pop and Devil's Due and Arcana Comics, etc. I laughed out loud when I got to Tokyo Pop. I don't know about you guys. Like, oh yeah, they're still around because they stopped paying all their artists.
Really?
How long ago? So,
a while. It's been a while.
It's true. It's true. I have some friends that have made that very complaint. But yeah, is this at all? Does anyone give a crap? Is really the question. Alex, do you give a crap?
I kind of give a crap. I mean, as big as Comixology is, you know, even if you know some people think it might be selling out, I could see this being beneficial to whatever independent creators can jump on this bandwagon, for better or for worse. I'm sure it'll be a big learning experience for everybody involved.
Wait a minute. What do you mean selling out? Isn't Comixology owned by like a major publisher? They can't really sell out in that case.
I'm talking about independent creators who join up with them.
Oh, well, it's another distribution system. It's digital. Anyone can just enter, of course, but there is, I mean, it's not like Zuda, where the viewing program that you had for the whole thing for Zuda was basically a big pain in the ass and a mess. But this is just essentially an elaborate PDF viewing, essentially, more or less. I haven't really used it, but that's basically what it is. You view comics online. I'm pretty sure you can't actually download these. I think it's just a view online only, if I am informed correctly. But if you like, you buy it, you can read it whenever and on whatever, as long as you log in. Kind of like how Amazon.com's Kindle works with all their new things. I don't see it as a bad thing. They're establishing themselves as a digital distributioner. These other people could do it themselves, but this is, you know, kind of, they already have their foot in the door, and they can probably reach a wider audience if they're all together.
I'm very interested to see the licensing terms and stuff like that for joining up. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll reserve judgment until
they have a sign up. They have a sign up on their site. So when they said independent comic creators, and I'm not sure if they meant almost anybody.
Well, as of right now, they're going to obviously a lot bigger stuff than most webcomics are really going to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that from what I understand, it seems to be geared more towards episodic content than kind of the daily content that a lot of webcomics tend to be.
Right.
I'm not sure how much this is really going to apply to the small press kind of level that webcomics are kind of deemed at just yet.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think anyone's really built a comic viewer for even the iPad that really anyone gives a crap about.
I don't know. I would... This goes to, like, you know, like the monthlies and, you know, the Batmans, the Supermans. you know, the mainstream print stuff that's been around forever, I've mm-hmm. read two, maybe three physical comics in my life. And then in 2006, I started, no, 2005, I started reading webcomics. Otherwise, mm-hmm. otherwise it's just been newspaper comics.
But the same story here.
But I am a bit interested in maybe going back to some of like the tried and true, like the revered comic series of, you know, Blue Beetle and things that I hear about that, you know, you should have read this, which you're finding like a physical print is probably going to be next to impossible unless you buy a collection. So the digital comic thing that's really picking up this year going into next year is interesting for somebody who didn't really care before.
Well, here's the real question. Is digital comics sales picking up, readership picking up, or is just the development of apps picking up? Because you have ones like Graphically out there, and a lot of the kind of comics competitors, and I don't know if people are really caring just yet. I mean, I haven't heard about one comic reading app doing really well in the iTunes App Store or really garnering enough traffic to really get much attention.
I don't know the numbers. I can't comment on that. I don't have an iPhone.
Yeah, me neither.
I have made up magical numbers that prove my point exactly.
Let's not be Fox News.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one then. Speaking of digital distribution, manga. 37 manga. Different manga titles have
publishers.
All together.
Publishers.
Publishers, thank you. 37 different manga publishers. Japanese manga publishers, obviously, have collaborated to set up a joint North American portal. It's tentatively going to be named the J Manga Portal site and will digitally distribute manga whose rights are held by each of the companies, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So,
I do need to jump in real quick.
Yeah.
Something I should have told you to say to begin with. Eric, a.k.a. Dromos of Extra.com, EXEIRN.com has been our field reporter, essentially finding articles and sending them to us. So, of course, credit for our field reporter, Eric.
He's the one in the fedora with a little press thing hanging off of it.
I wore that to intervention.
Oh, that's a good point.
So back to this story. This is actually a multi-link thing. It comes from, we saw it from Comics Talk to Manga Blog to Anime News Network, which links to a Japanese site, which I can't read.
Such is life.
Yes.
This one, I gotta say, I know so many manga readers that read their manga illegally that, I mean, unless this stuff comes out the same time or very close to the same time as the manga that they're getting fan-subbed or fan, well, whatever the fan-translated term.
Fan-dub.
Fan-dubbed.
You know, fan-sub for subtitles.
Scanlations.
Scanlations, yeah.
Thank you. That thing. Unless that starts to happen at the sort of speed that the actual comics in Japan are coming out with, I don't think they're going to gain much audience. Because right now, I mean, the turnaround time for the translations is pretty instantaneous for most series.
Is it? I figure there's always a delay.
At the same time, I know that there's a growing number of anime and manga fans that prefer to get their manga and anime through legal means, whether it be, you know, online streaming that's actually sanctioned and ad-supported and stuff like that. So I feel like this is definitely a good thing for those folks.
Yeah, you know, I always tend to forget about the fact that not every anime fan is as hardcore as my friends are.
Mm-hmm.
there actually is an entire generation out there. I should know. I'd try and sell them things at conventions. There's an entire new generation out there of manga fans and they're the ones that have been buying books at Borders as long as they can remember. And you know, if things come out in any sort of form, then I'm sure this will probably hit them pretty hard in a good way, like with enthusiasm, that kind of hitting.
They've actually been coming down on scanlations very heavily this past year. I only know that from Mars Girl, who does videos.
Yeah, I watch her videos, too.
And she's mentioned a couple of times that they're basically, they've closed two major scanlation sites, I believe, is what it was. Mm-hmm. And this is probably what it was gearing up to. And I think as long as that these things are going to be officially available, where you can, you know, buy online and own them, I'm thinking people will do this. Because,
well, you know,
print is expensive. Yeah,
there's lots of people who would gladly, you know, pay for something that if it were available for them to buy.
Especially at a reasonable price. At a reasonable exactly. price as well.
Yeah, I know a ton of people that have watched a lot of anime on Hulu now that that's made it
mm-hmm.
mainstream mm-hmm. and easily available. And I have no doubt that if this became kind of like the Hulu of manga,
right,
it could probably pick up some speed.
I mean, hell, even with that, I've seen, like, you know, Project Wonderful ads poking up with Funimation with series that would have absolutely no chance for a TV run. Like Sekirei, which is, I mean, it's not going to, you
yeah,
can't
follow
have
that up with a statement. So I know you, what you're talking about.
Sekirei is, very, very, obviously let's see some boobs, sort of thing, of course, with, you know,
in, the best kind of manga.
Yeah. Well, this is anime we're talking about here, but it's like something like that. It's like, you know, markets are in the market is expanding, and they're able to directly sell now instead of trying to build up for on TV. Then to get, you know, it's kind of like you don't need TV anymore for to try to get like these little bit more high risk series. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking like with this, we'll probably see a lot more different series, not like the big ones like the Dragon Ball Zs and the Sailor Moons, like the safer, wider audience that, yeah, they're like they seems
the Bleach
like
be, and the Naruto.
We
and
might
the,
see more
and the Naruto Shippuden and the Naruto Shippuden DX.
Yeah.
So I think this would be something really interesting to follow and see what kind of stuff that we don't normally see here come out here, like a more niche titles.
Yeah,
and
the list of publishers that are going to contribute to this just keeps growing, apparently.
Awesome.
There's like 20 or 30 names now.
But the real question is, will it be a usable and readable format? Because as we saw with Zuda, I know that one suffered a lot from just a wonky-ass interface.
Right. And we'll see. I'm pretty sure everyone will have learned from Zuda.
Well, I know I did. All right, let's move on. Next up, we have this one hits a little closer to home for webcomics. So, internet gentleman about town, George Rohawk, who anyone involved with the webcomics circuit should know from his work as webcomics liaison at Webcomics Weekend, former webcomics liaison for Kineticon. He used to be involved with RaffleCon. If it has con at the end, he's probably been involved with it. Not to mention, he's also been a frequent cast member on the popular webcomic Johnny Wander by Yuko and Ananth, which can be found at johnnywander.com.
And Three Panel Soul.
Oh, that's right. He appeared in Three Panel Soul? I didn't know mm-hmm. that. So really, he's everywhere, I guess is the point. Anyway, this whole time, George has been working on his graduate thesis as he has been working his way through school and just released it. And guess what? It's all about webcomics. He did a survey and research into the topic of webcomics being full-time, how many are full-time, how many aren't full-time, how much time is being put into it, what is being sold in order to make up the full-time.
Mm-hmm.
The type of
copyright and stuff
to
like
be
that
fair,
too.
It's not all about webcomics. A good portion of it talks about copyright, which can be applied to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Though I kind of read between the lines that he wanted to write about webcomics and his thesis copyright.
Right.
Probably had to meet him halfway on that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a 24-page thesis, probably going to be one of the more read theses by a graduate student in a while, just because of the sheer number of webcomics out there that heard about it.
It's 52 pages.
It's what?
It's 50. I have the PDF here.
Oh, it is 52. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's much longer than that. Sit down.
PDF, you were saying things. Also, I'm in the personal interview bibliography section, so, you know, there's that.
You can find this. You can find the link at... You can.
Yeah, you know, I'm just on page 52.
I'm just on page 52. No big deal.
you can find it at georgerohack.com. There is a link there to Copyright and Economy of Webcomics. You can download that there.
Yeah. Pretty interesting to check out. Have you guys read it or part of it? I don't ask that you've read the entire.
I've read through most of it. Definitely the part with the graphs. The pie charts.
There is a lot of shiny graphs and charts. And as we know, the internet loves charts.
They do. They're pie charts. It's even better.
He's done a really great job of breaking up the amount of traffic of a lot of comics and based on the number of people surveyed. By the way, total number of responses, I believe, is around 350 or 250 or so, I should say. Which, you know, so that's a pretty good sample. I mean, in terms of statistics, maybe not great, but in terms of just number of people to survey, in terms of webcomics people, that's a pretty good, it's a pretty good amount.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex, anything jump out at you when reading through?
Well, definitely, it definitely sort of confirmed a lot of things that people, quote unquote, knew about this industry, such as, you know, higher page views means you're more likely to be making money from it and stuff like that. Right. But it probably the most satisfying thing for me is actually, you know, seeing some hard data on this stuff when there really wasn't that much before.
It's
true. Especially on things like, you know, hours spent per week on business and, you know, types of merchandise and that sort of thing.
He did avoid, or rather, I guess it wasn't on topic, but he avoided hours spent per week on the comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I guess that would just be off the charts.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how did you do that? That is more hours than that in the whole week.
Right.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yours isn't in color.
Oh, well,
burn.
I could come back, but I'd rather just cue a sad trombone on that one. That's a good website to keep up at all times.
That and instantrimshot.com.
Oh, you mean this?
Why, yes, I do.
Oh, okay. While we're at it, also instant crickets. Okay, I don't remember that one going up.
You are my favorite person right now.
Well, I'm going to have to, just because I want everything to stop.
No!
Okay.
Fun with sound effects. We'll return in just a moment. Anyway.
Yes.
Why don't I have any of those open?
Moving on.
How many those are there? No. I always forget. There is also one for the Inception noise, but we don't need to go there. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting data in this. I think my favorite part was actually when the butler did it. No, when there's a part where they talk about the number of hours spent on the business side. And that's really interesting to me because he doesn't really define, at least I didn't really see it. I mean, it's left up to the people for what defines as spending on the business side. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, is that promotion or is that just like the money making stuff or is that the promotion fall under part of it, you know, or is that anything outside of the comic?
Well, promotion is going to fall under business no matter what. Because it's part of business.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess I'm saying that I would like to see more of a breakdown because it takes a while to ship out shirts. Okay, so that can take up a lot of time. But then again, doing things like promoting it, you know, sending it to a bunch of sites that you think might be interested and might reblog it or something,
mm-hmm.
Advertising, you know, I mean, there's a blurry line, I guess, is my point, between things that are obviously officially business side mm-hmm. and things that are also just promoting the comic.
Well, yeah, like, and I wonder how they break things up by, like, for example, Howard Taylor, Schlock Mercenary, does all the artwork, and his wife, Sandra, handles most of the business. So I wonder if he, by chance, was one of the people pulled in this. You know, did he include her time on the comic as well, or just the time that he would put into the business side on his personal end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's those kind of variations to think about, too.
Sure. Also, the entire thing's written in Times New Roman. Don't know how I feel about that.
It's a little hard on the eyes.
Yeah, it's the Stefanminer in me. And he's kind of cheating on the whole double space thing, but you know, that's the professor in me talking again. So,
double space, you're supposed to type double space. That was like, that's like day one of high school.
And he doesn't indent his paragraphs.
He's the 52 pages, okay? Just say. Good thing I'm not grading it. Yeah, but that's the real question. What grade did he get on this thesis? But anyway,
I give it an A plus.
Yeah, I give it an A for interesting, because I wouldn't make any sense. But the other thing to note, George has now moved on from his thesis and is currently working at Oni Press, where if his Twitter feed is any accounts, he works all hours of the night all the time. Or wants us to think that he does. Hard to say which. But anyway, it's worth checking out. Also, Fleen has an interesting write-up about it. And the comments on the Fleen post do get pretty interesting. There's a lot of creators weighing in there. So be sure to check that out.
Also, you can download George's raw data for like graph crunching and stuff like that if you're really interested in like poring over the numbers like I was.
And if you have any pretty charts that you make, please send them to me, because I do want to see them.
Likewise.
I love a good chart. What can I say? Also, the internet loves charts, so I love that the internet loves charts. Okay. Well, oh, and finally, of course, thanks to George, because, of course, that took a lot of work. Wouldn't be nothing without him. Okay. Last time in the newscast, we talked about how our old friend Rob Liefeld started a new webcomic and got to rail on that. Now I get to rail on Marvel. I'm so excited. Marvel has decided that they're going to take their buyout from Disney very seriously and emulate the Disney style of having things available for release for limited times only and then going, quote, back into the vault. And they've decided to emulate this with comics. So now certain Marvel
with comics...
With
digital comics.
Available. Right, digital comics, I apologize.
Not even print comics.
Right. So files will be available for limited amounts of time and then disappear for limited amounts of time. Files. Digital files. I think this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
It's like, what?
I don't think that scarcity itself, which is I think what they're trying to get at, is the worst marketing ploy in the world. But at the same time, I don't really understand it for this either.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
I can see for Disney a little bit it can work. I mean, come on, because it's like I've totally forgotten about certain Disney movies because they're just not available. And then when I see it on hey, I remember watching that, and et cetera. So I can see that, but for something where your market is already limited, not everybody watches movies. Everybody reads comics, especially the ones you have to go to a comic store because they're not in grocery stores anymore. You know?
This article, by the way, the article's from Comics Alliance, and thanks to them for, and thanks to Eric. I cannot believe that this screams Disney just deciding to take their ideas and shove them on Marvel. Yeah, to me.
Yeah.
This does not seem like a Marvel idea. I mean, it's digital. The whole point of digital is you can have more things all the time. And plus with movies, okay, movies, because they make a reference in the article to Netflix and how Netflix has things come and go in terms of their instant. Well, that makes sense because there's bandwidth issues. There's sizing issues. Mm-hmm. This is comics, okay? These files are not large. You could probably fit every Marvel comic on my computer right now. They do not and all the porn I got on there already. So, you know, and that's not, and that's saying something. So, like, I don't get why they think this is going to, what is this going to do? What is this going to do that helps them? I just don't get it. Anyone get it?
No.
I'll pretty much.
No.
It's not a good sale for, like for me, who might infrequent, but may still buy. And it's like, well, I might have been interested in that. It's now disappeared for an unknown amount of time. I'm going to forget by the time it comes back.
And it's not, I'm sure there'll be a DRM and stuff on this. It's not like you can just buy someone else's copy of this digital file.
Right.
And probably read it on their computer.
Guaranteed. Well, we all think it's dumb, but if you in the audience disagree with us, please feel free to check in with our with us on our website, webcomicbeacon.com, where you can sign into the comments on today's post and yell at us and tell us how wrong we are. Or tell us how right we are. We like hearing that, too.
Right.
And pretty and handsome, too.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty. She's handsome.
I'm stroking my chin right now as if I had a beard.
I'm stroking my chin with a beard. Speaking of November, I'm so sad to see it go.
No Shave November is over.
I know.
One of my coworkers was doing that. I realized it like at the very last day of the month. I'm like, hey, you're getting fuzzy. He's like, yep, shave tomorrow.
Yeah, I kept a beard all month. I also sold beard-related products all month long.
I noticed that on your feed.
Yeah, I was kind of a whore about it. But I raised over $100 for cancer awareness, and a lot of people got cool beard and mustache-related shirts. So everyone wins. Yay.
One thing I want to do for the Webcomic Beacon eventually, because you see webcomics or groups here and there doing some sort of drive for cancer-related things or some sort of good cause. And I wanted to do something for colon cancer just because, everyone online is an asshole. And so colon cancer should be a real concern for them. And it affects men and women. So it's not like testicular cancer or breast cancer. You know, colon cancer,
prostate cancer.
That's where you want to go. That's the kind of cancer you want to get into.
Colon cancer is where it's at.
You could be like, kick colon cancer's ass. Kick colon cancer right in the colon.
And
I'll work on it.
And speaking of causes, on book releases.
Right along.
Yep. Book releases for, well, let's see, this month or this 2 weeks, we have webcomics. What's Cooking? I've mentioned this on the Webcomic Beacon before, but TGT Media, the guy that does, Kurt, who does TGT webcomics, has put together a collection, a 96-page book, cookbook, essentially, from 60-plus popular webcomic artists, and there's a comic that's food-related, joining with a supporting recipe. And proceeds from the project go to Canadian and American National Food Banks. And so we're going to post a link for this. Otherwise, you can go to tgtmedia.com to check out more. Otherwise, we're going to post a link to the Kickstarter. That is basically where you can back a project. And essentially, it kind of works as a pre-order system as well. So you can check it out and support that. I think there's less than half a month left, maybe 15 to 20 days left at the time of this recording. So go ahead and check that out. Also, Girls with Slingshots, Volume 5, came out, I don't remember exactly when, but fairly recently. So you can go to, what is the website for Girls with Slingshots?
Actually, she just launched a new website girlswithslingshots.com. Not to mention the fact that she's actually now running her merchandise through Least I Could Do. Blind Ferret is actually providing hosting, but now they're also providing merchandise services.
Yeah.
So Danielle, who I've seen her tweet many, 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 many times about how she's shipping things out again and again and again. So clearly she wanted some help, and she's finally got some in the form of Somer and the gang over at Least I Can Do.
I think Least I Can Do has been doing that a little bit. I noticed that Goblins, at least, unless they already were, at least. I mean, I just know they had a site redesign, and I noticed a little image on there saying they're hosting on Least I Can Do. So they're probably been working on this for a while. Yeah, Goblins used to be on... It used to be... not Comic Genesis, but...
Definitely not Comic Genesis.
They were Keenspot. They were on Keenspot, I thought. So that might be something at least I can...
They probably
I can do is doing
left
now.
It because of that whole purge earlier this summer.
So here's the real question, though. If Goblins has moved over and Girls with Slingshots has moved over, is this the start of Least I Could Do becoming a bit of a media empire? More of a media empire?
I think it's going to be a little niche, actually. I think it'll be kind of buddies that are going to be there. I don't think it's going to expand beyond the people that they know and already talk to and work with, kind of. I feel like it'll be a sort of collective,
but not maybe not in the sense that, that we're already familiar with.
Yeah, it'll be like a collectives. It'll be like a buddies thing, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
the cool kids table.
And so the rule of thumb on book releases of why we're doing this now is that I will say within a month of any one of our coming newscasts, which we are trying to do twice a month. At least the second week of the month is when another one would be. If there is a webcomic to print book release, or I'll even say a pre-order or a Kickstarter starting or ending, or the book is being released, let us know. If you would like to send us a book copy for a book review. It will be reviewed, and you can contact us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. I am unsure who will actually be doing the reviewing. I think Mark Savory might already be doing that. I'm not sure.
If it's a good one, I got dibs.
Mark Savory's got a really cool voice, and he's going to be nice, too, even if he doesn't like it. I'm pretty sure he'll be nice, but because I've heard him, he's used to do reviews before. So we'll see about that. But other than that, this is about it for the show. So,
yes, it is about it for the show. So with that, we will wrap up this short, sweet podcast. My name has been Ross Scott of SystemComic.com. Alex?
I am Alex Heberling of AlexsGuide.net.
And Fess.
And, of course, I've been Fess, and you can follow me on Tumblr at TooManyThingsToList.com.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.